The coronavirus is the biggest threat this country has faced for decades.
We have asked everyone in Wales to make changes in the way we live our lives.
Stay at home during this pandemic.
Welcome to Journos in Lockdown,
a podcast created by trainee broadcast journalists who are learning to report in a global pandemic.
As we've not been able to go out and meet journalists, we've decided to bring them to you and ask them what challenges coronavirus has brought them
and what the future of journalism might look like.
Hello and welcome to Journos in Lockdown with me, Evan Hall. Recently I spoke to James Williams, BBC Wales's political correspondent and host of Politics Wales, aired on a Sunday. During this episode, we spoke about how to cover the daily press conferences, some personal challenges COVID had presented James as a journalist, and an interview he did with Keir Starmer. So let's see what he had to say, and here's the episode. So James Williams, thank you for joining us on Journos in Lockdown. A bit of a basic question just to start then. How has coronavirus impacted you specifically in terms of broadcasting, and what have you found challenging?
Well, I am not the most technically gifted at the best of times, and I'm having to learn so much more than I expected to in terms of recording on Zoom and, yeah, recording remotely and what have you. So that's been difficult. And also, like, you know, I work in political journalism, and a lot of that is sort of face-to-face contacts, meeting people for a coffee, meeting people, bumping people into people in the Senate or in Parliament, what have you. Well, that's gone. So, you know, so I'm sort of, it was making phone calls before, but obviously you were sort of supplementing that with your bumping into people and on sort of a Tuesday, Wednesday in Cardiff Bay, what have you. I'm having to sort of change my work pattern around that. I mean, it's just upended everything, is it really? I mean, the main parts haven't changed massively because throughout we've been still coming into the studio to do live two ways and present a programme on Sunday mornings, being obviously been coming in to do that. So my sort of studio-based work has kept a sort of normality to it. But beyond that, it's been very difficult. And I found out I'm not one for working at home. So I'm quite glad that I've been able to come out in a lot.
Well, I was just going to ask, have you actually had to work from home and do things remotely?
Yeah, I've done a bit at home. So what I tend to do is sort of the morning would be sort of based at home, making phone calls, endless Zoom meetings with our colleagues, whatever, see what we're doing, how we're being deployed, what have you. And then I sort of write any copy up or whatever, get things prepared for TV, sort of lunchtime or evening, and then come in for that. So sort of my mornings are at home, which is absolutely fine. But I haven't been doing long stretches at home, which I think I'd find quite challenging if I had to.
You sort of alluded to this in your first answer, really, but obviously, coronavirus, it's making the industry think differently and think more creatively as such. So how are you finding this transition sort of hard to fit? Because politics is quite a hard subject to sort of think creatively, whereas other subjects or areas, you might get away with it as such. So what are you trying to think of?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I haven't actually done that much packaging during this time. It's all been very much sort of, there are sort of two gears to the newsroom, I'd suggest. Like, a few of us, particularly the political lot, are sort of following the day-to-day, what's happened today, the updates from the press conferences, what have you. And there's a sort of natural rhythm to that. And that's all mostly been sort of two-way live-based reporting. And then there's the sort of second gear of the newsroom, which is thinking more long-term about, you know, impacts on different areas of business or culture or tourism, what have you. And they've got a bit more time to sort of package around that. So to be honest with you, I've been doing more of the live stuff, and so that hasn't changed massively. I have done a couple of packages, and I've got to be honest with you, there's some elements of it I quite like. So previously, we would, on a Sunday, for example, I'd have done an interview with a minister on the programme, and then turn it around for Wales Today and Newyddion that evening, maybe try and get a... If we're talking about schools, so I might try and get a head teacher or whatever involved in the piece. Now, we did that a couple of weeks ago when I interviewed a head teacher over Zoom. She was in Hendy in Llanelli, and just did it over Zoom. She sent me a couple of images and a bit of footage from her camera phone, and that was it. Now, previously, I most likely would have ended up jumping in my car, driving down to Hendy for what would basically amount to 40 seconds of television. Now, I personally quite like that change because I don't really feel in that example it would have really justified going all that way. So I think hopefully that some things like that actually might be introduced more more longer term, obviously to do sort of complete packages out and about, you still need to go out and about, and obviously we want to do that. But sort of little elements where we can gather them, I think there's a lot to be said for doing it remotely. And it also helps, it makes it easier to get around the country, because a lot of the time, if we're up against it and trying to get an example for a piece and I'm going out and about to film it, I'd have to sort of keep my radius pretty small, because I've only got an hour or so to get to wherever and get back and package over that evening. Well, if I'm doing remotely, I can get an example up from up in North Wales or Mid Wales. So I think it'll help us in terms of sort of spreading across the country a lot of the time, because a lot of people are really annoyed we don't get out of Cardiff all the time. Most of the time it's a logistical thing rather than an editorial thing. So I think that might help it.
Have you as a department then, or as an organisation in BBC Wales, have you sort of taken creative risks to try and see, to try things out maybe, which you probably wouldn't have done hadn't coronavirus have been around?
Yeah, well, as I said, it's just more of that remote interviewing has probably given us access to a lot more people and a lot, you know, it's been a lot more acceptable to the newsroom. You know, there were certain standards expected of a television piece pre-coronavirus that have obviously had to go out the window. But with by doing so, you've sort of perhaps opened up your ability to include a wider, you know, cast your net a little bit wider, I think. So, as I said, I haven't been doing too much of the technical stuff, because it's been very much been sort of on the day, report on the updates and very much live-based. But my colleagues, definitely, they're doing a lot more of the sort of remote creative work than I personally am. So I wouldn't feel too informed saying too much about that.
So, again, you've sort of touched on these in the multiple answers you've given. Is coronavirus going to change the industry going forward?
I think it's going to change everything, isn't it? Some things definitely for the better. I mean, I think, you know, everyone's pretty much getting to grips with, everyone's getting to grips, aren't they, with remote working, and we're no different. And I think, you know, there are certain issues with that, but definitely opportunities as well. And, you know, with all of us having to do it as well, it hopefully makes it, you know, the audience is coming and potential contributors are coming with us. So, you know, we're moving at the same time in terms of, you know, working remotely and contributing remotely. So I think that's definitely going to be a plus. It, you know, a lot, I've always been really envious of people who work in news, in print journalism, because in many ways it's a lot easier. You know, I'm not saying we're comparing apples and pears, I know, but I've always been envious of the ability to pick up the phone, record the conversation and turn that into a cracking story or what have you. Broadcast, especially television, you know, can be a bit of a logistical nightmare to be honest. You're spinning loads of plates at the same time, you know, getting the story, but also trying to work out, you know, oh, can I get a cameraman to go and film this person at 10 o'clock? Yes, they can do 10. Oh, no, they'll come back to me. They can only do 10:30. Can we get a cameraman at 10:30? No, he's got to go to somewhere else. All right, okay. You know, that's a logistical nightmare. And, you know, that's always going to be there for television because you want to create nice pieces, but maybe there's an opportunity to do a few more things remotely going forward, and so you avoid a bit more of that and concentrate a bit more on the journalism.
So moving away now from the sort of coronavirus side of it, but still sort of keeping it, yeah, and sort of moving to your role, obviously you're a political reporter, correspondent, and in the recent weeks you've been reporting live during the daily press conferences, as you and many of your colleagues have in BBC. How do you manage to sort of turn those press conferences around so quick in live situations? And, you know, there's been examples, unfortunately, the BBC have lost their links to the press conference in Cardiff. So how have you had to sort of think on your feet in that situation?
Yeah, don't get started about that. Yeah, technical gremlins big time at the start anyway. I think they've been sorted now, thankfully. That's what we're told, right? You know, I mean, I'm not sure, to be honest, how we do journalism, especially that kind of journalism where you're sort of listening to a long press conference or reading a long document and then you have to turn it around quickly. It's sifting, isn't it? So being across the story is absolutely essential, because you've got a sort of laser-like focus on, ooh, that's new, I've heard that before, or ooh, you know, that's an interesting point. You know, by living the story every day and reporting it on it all the time, you're familiar with it, so your ears prick up when you notice there's a new line, whatever. So I suppose that sort of does the sifting for you in a way. And so you can clearly say, like, okay, well, sum up for us in 30 seconds how that's different from what we've heard before. And you're like, well, I haven't heard this and before. And because you're across the story, you're sort of, it's easier to be, it's easily done. So I think just you know, being across the brief is absolutely essential. And this was going to the point we discussed before we started talking. The sort of corollary of that and the sort of negative point really is that you are kind of totally immersed in the story. It can be difficult to turn off sometimes because, you know, our job isn't something that, you know, we have days off, obviously, but, you know, it's not the kind of job where you leave it at when you clock off on a Tuesday and then you don't engage with it at all until you clock back in on a Thursday. That's just not how it works. So even on your day off, you're watching the briefing, you're watching the news output, you're on your phone looking. So you have to be across it, but the difficulty sometimes is that, you know, that, you know, it's difficult to disengage then.
And do you know, with an experience, like you've sort of said there, you're sort of looking at the new lines, what have maybe changed. Do you note down the main lines and sort of like keep like some sort of timeline as such, or is it just second nature and you just know, oh, that's changed?
Yeah, I mean, it's just constant. I mean, I do keep a notebook, and, you know, my notes probably aren't as good as they should be, but yeah, I do keep a notebook of things and dates and, you know, reference points to go back to. But I mean, it is very much just a case of just washing yourself in it and just sort of kind of knowing it a lot. And I know that sounds pig-headed, but do you know what I mean? As in, like, you know, as in you're just living it and you're constantly having to keep up with it. You know, you don't know everything, obviously. But we are a team as well, so there's a lot of teamwork and we're always going back and forth saying, I think that was new. Do you think that was new? Was that? No, they said that another day. Okay. So as a collective, we sort of like make sure that we don't miss anything. But, you know, individually as well, you just sort of mostly know what's going on because you have to.
So during the coronavirus as such, people have had to take on extra responsibilities and maybe do extra things. Now, from previous discussions I've had with you, I know obviously you cover the three BBC strands. You cover the TV, radio and online in both Welsh and English. Do you find it hard switching between each medium as such?
Languages, I find it harder to switch before, more than mediums, to be honest with you. Mediums I find okay. It's the language shift that can be quite difficult. Growing up, the Welsh side of my brain was more dominant. That changed when I went away to university, and it's definitely the English side that's more dominant now. And so I have to sometimes sort of, you know, go over the Welsh side a little bit more than the Welsh side, the English side of my output. And if you haven't got a massive gap between doing one thing and the other, it can be a bit of a challenge. Usually there is enough of a gap, so you can sort of change gear into a different language. But I definitely say it's the linguistic gear change rather than the platform that is hardest for me anyway.
So moving on then as well, obviously you're the presenter of, I hope I get this the right way around now, Politics Wales.
Correct. People still call it Sunday Politics Wales, but it has been rebranded.
Yeah.
But it's on a Sunday, so it's, yeah, everyone still calls it Sunday Politics.
And I'm just going to drop you in it a bit here. Obviously, we were supposed yesterday. You were supposed to speak yesterday to me, but obviously you sort of dropped me at last minute because you had to interview Keir Starmer.
Thank you, Evan. Yes, thank you for embarrassing me. Yes,
that's no problem. But it's quite poignant, actually, because I just wanted to say is that obviously during this period, these one-on-one interviews with various politicians at various levels is really important. So I just wanted to sort of go through the process and prepping you sort of do for something like that. And whether you feel the pressure when you do it, because it's just you and him sitting there, or you and her sitting there. And obviously, I think one thing which is quite important now is all the sort of lines journalists are using, like quite creatively to think of questions, and whether you sort of, how that sort of process works in whole, really, for you.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I do a lot of homework for those interviews. There's no secret trick or whatever. It's just a lot of research, a lot of reading. And I just try and go into every interview just completely across the brief, because I know the minister's going to be, you know, they work really hard to be across it. So, you know, I feel as if I had a respect to them and the audience as well, you know, I should be as well. So just a lot of reading is the basic element to preparing. And, you know, it's just going through with my producer what we think would be valuable from week to week. We're trying to give longer form interviews because we think there's value in them, but it's not always possible. But then again, we'd be having a minister on every week, so there's no sort of compulsion to fit everything into one interview. You just got to sort of think, okay, this week, given what's happened, given given what's coming up next week, what do we think would be the most valuable things to go for? And I think picking one or two topics and diving deeply into them rather than casting your net too wide is proven a lot more fruitful. Don't always get that right, but I think that is the way to go, is just to, at this particular point, given that we're going to be living through this for a very long time, you know, there's no compulsion to get everything in one interview. But when you do an interview, you want to come out having learned something new. And so I find the way to do that is to really drill down into a topic.
Do you find it like a big game of chess, really, between you and the politician?
Well, you know, at the moment, I think my style of interviewing has changed, definitely, during this period, because, you know, people are really interested, they're concerned, they want to know what's going on, they want to hear from the ministers. And so you're just trying to facilitate that in a way. But also, you know, it's not a public broadcast, it is an interview. So it's getting the balance, isn't it, between probing when they're not answering the question, but giving them enough space and not interrupting too much, which I can be guilty of sometimes. Not interrupting too much to give them the space to talk, because as is the end of the day, you know, from the feedback we're getting, from the audience logs, from the audience numbers, there's massive interest, obviously, into what's happening. So end of the day, we want to, you know, to give the audience as much of an opportunity as possible to learn something new. But obviously, you know, not be afraid. If the minister's avoiding something, then, you know, you're not going to let them prattle on here.
No, I don't think you should do that anyway. So, again, now, moving towards us as trainees, obviously quite a hard time for us with the coronavirus. So what's the best piece of advice you have been given, or maybe you could give to us in the current situation?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've already discussed this with you. I qualified as a journalist during the financial crash. So in the summer of 2009. Yeah, so in the height of the sort of financial crash. So that was the last crisis. So, you know, that wasn't a particularly great time to qualify either. So I have a little bit of empathy. I know it's different. It's completely different. But it wasn't a particularly good time to come out and trying to find a job. My tactics at the time was very much get a job. Not to worry too much about what the job was, and sort of work myself up. I mean, it's different for everyone. Everyone's got different things they want to do, but that was personally, that's what I went for. Just, you know, keep being keen, keep in contact with people you know work in industry, you know, keep making them aware that you are available to work, because they might, you know, the sort of classic opportunities of we've got a job for you here, here's an advert, and you know, this is how you might get a foot in the door, might not present itself for a while. I mean, I don't know, but the obviously all most industries are in sort of the deep freeze at the moment, and journalism for the most part is no different to that. But there are other ways of sort of getting your foot in the door, and sort of keeping in contact with any sort of ins you have in the BBC or ITV or Global or whatever, or newspapers. You know, I think I'd sort of be plugging those contacts as much as you can. And just, you know, showing willing, keeping up with everything, being across the story, because you never know, you might get a phone call and say, turn up on Monday, and you don't want to be thinking, oh, all right, I'm not quite across everything. So just you know, still work on your skills. You've obviously, you know, been going through stuff in your course. I know it's been curtailed a little bit, but, you know, keep developing those things that you've been learning. Keep up with the filming, keep up with the sort of practicing the two ways and the pieces of camera and all that, and, you know, just look out for any opportunities at the moment. But yeah, you know, undoubtedly it is a difficult time, but, you know, stick at it, because opportunities will arise.
And then in terms of, like, obviously you're quite in a esteemed position as such, how much luck and graft is needed to get to somewhere where you are today?
Loads of luck. Lots of luck, you know, being in the right place at the right time. But hard work as well, you know, journalism is such a great job. I absolutely love it. I can't think of anything I'd rather do. What a way to make a living. But it's also full on, as we've already talked about. I mean, you do sort of completely wash yourself in it. And that's the sort of, that's the payoff with it. So you sort of, you have to give it everything, but God, you get a lot back from it as well. So as I said, there's no real trick to this. You know, some people are better at others and at some things than others, but ultimately if you work hard and you keep your skills up, you know, you'll get opportunities. And well, you know, hopefully things will start, you know, and a bit of luck chucked into that as well, and then hopefully, you know, you'll make a career out of it.
So I come to my last question, and I've been doing a light-hearted round to finish off.
Okay.
So there's a couple of questions I've got. If you can answer them as quick as you can, and I might pick up on a couple of points depending on what you say.
Okay.
Funniest moment in broadcasting?
When I ripped my trousers when I was covering a UKIP rally in Swansea.
Biggest unintended mistake?
Completely forgot my newyddion two-way where in Millbank, Westminster, a totally, you know, earth-swallowing moment. Embarrassing.
Any reason why you forgot it?
Just totally went blank. It happens. Don't worry about it. You get over it. But at the time, it's mortifying.
Memorable moment as a trainee?
Doing my first piece, television piece. Getting that on air.
What was the first piece you ever did?
It was in Brussels, amazingly, on the MEPs there. Remember them?
Yeah, well, yes. Wasn't that long ago, was it? Are you a pen and notebook or an iPad type of person?
Pen and notebook.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
TV or radio?
Radio.
Any reason?
I mean, it's a 50-50. I like music.
Football or rugby?
Rugby.
One thing you're missing or craving during this lockdown?
A pint of draft.
Broadcasting dream?
I'm already reliving it. No, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, keep going. See where it goes.
Favourite location?
For work or?
You interpretate it how you want.
Okay. Colombia.
Ooh, not for work. Exotic. Yeah. Current series binge?
Just finished Normal People.
Oh, was it good? I haven't done that yet.
It was good. I wouldn't say it was as amazing as everyone says, but it was very good.
And final question, describe your career in 3 words.
Politics, talking, listening.
Right, you definitely do plenty of talking, James Woodham.
Too much.
Thank you very much for joining us on Journalism in Lockdown. I hope you keep well and keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much, Evan. Take care.
You're listening to Journos in Lockdown.
And that's all we have time for today. Thanks to James for answering my questions. And make sure to keep up to date on social media. We're at Lockdown Journos, and we'd love to hear from you about the series so far. And the next episode is on Wednesday, where Gareth will speak to podcaster Simon Spugin. But until then, stay safe and goodbye.